house, amen, and with the saints of God on this beautiful day. Someone say, well, the sun ain't shining. You know, you're breathing. Amen. Somebody didn't wake up this morning, right? But the Lord allowed us to wake up, you know. It's not depending on what the day looks like. It's the fact that you can look at the day. All right? Whether it's sunshine or rain or storm or flood, you can still see it. Amen. So we thank him. Amen. And as promised, amen, we're going to continue our series. Amen. Book of Acts. This will be installment number four. I'm just trying, waiting to see how many of y'all remember where we at. So I'll pause to give you a chance to speak up. That's right. Number four. Amen. You know, Acts is actually one of my favorite books. Amen. To dig into. I could spend a good year in the book of Acts and not be through. Amen. But it's one of my favorite books. Amen. I thank God for it. And like I said, this is fourth part. Amen. And this one, amen, is somewhat of a doozy. Amen. A lot of y'all been waiting for us to get to this one. Amen. Man, anxious. Amen. See, so we've looked at in our first three parts. Amen. We looked at the last command, which we talked about, you know, what the Lord told them to do, to go to Jerusalem and wait, you know, until they be endued, amen, until they receive the power from on high, until they were, you know, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, and I was thinking about that. I was looking at it and said, this is one of the only places, you know, in Scripture, not the only place, but one of the only places in Scripture where you see the Lord told them to go and do nothing. Say, go and do nothing, just wait. Don't go preach no more, don't do nothing, just wait. And that's important because sometimes we want to go do something and we haven't been commissioned to go. Right? You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, I forget who it was, you know, about sometimes, you know, there's those that are sent and then there's those that just went.
Come on now, Joe.
Right? Amen. I'd rather be one of those that's sent, right? Amen, because if I'm sent, I got some backup. But if I just went on my own, then I'm on my own. Right? Amen. So we thank God. Amen. Then the second one, we talked about the promise. Amen. Just exploring the promise. Amen. And who was sending the promise. You know, we looked at that. Then number three, amen, was receiving the promise. Amen. And we looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And receiving that and how that, you know, who that was for. Amen. But we want to look at today, amen, we want to look at new tongues. New tongues. Amen. And as we go, we're going to, you know, because this still today is a controversial topic. Amen. There's a lot of controversy. Well, is it or isn't it? Should it or shouldn't it? You know, and all that, amen. So, you know, but and it's still in the church. People are going back and forth on it. You know, and so we must really hear and see, you know, what the Scripture says about the matter. Amen. And you know, so it was one thing I find, amen, that, you know, there's so much scattered throughout the Bible, amen, on this particular topic, amen. And it's not whether we, you know, have to make the decision. The Bible's already laid it out for us, but we got to look and see what it really says.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so, you know, for me, you know, as I look at it and the more I study it, and I've been, you know, obviously for been studying this topic and, you know, reading the Bible for over, 45 years, and I see so many passages that have to be ignored in order to say it's not for today.
Right.
You know. Ignored, you know, just you know, so we and like I said, you know, last week, we don't take one passage and just build our case, right?
Amen.
You know, so and that's no matter what side you're on, because my opinion don't matter,
amen.
Right? Amen. Opinions, amen. We all got opinions, amen, but the Word of God will write them all.
Yes, Lord.
Isn't that right? Amen. So we want to see, amen, and hear what the Bible is saying, amen, and not dismiss anything, but to consider. You know, I mean, we had a brother here years ago, amen, Humphrey Lee. You know, and sometimes you'd be in a conversation with Humphrey, and you'd say something that he didn't quite agree with. And he wouldn't just come out and say that's wrong, but he would say, I would have you consider. And then he would. Yeah. So I want to give us some things to consider.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Right. And then if we give it proper consideration, he said, come now, let us what?
Reason
together. Amen. With all that get and get.
Understanding.
See, y'all know the word. Come
uh-huh,
on. Now.
Uh-huh.
So, amen. All those things apply.
Yes.
You know, so the first of all, you know, what is tongue? Simply put, tongues is an unfamiliar language that you don't have the understanding of the capacity, amen, to interpret on your own. I don't care if it's Spanish. Well, I mean, even when we were in Africa, amen, they spoke many different dialects over there, you know. And to me, they were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in other tongues, because I didn't understand a word they were saying, amen, until Elizabeth or one of them that was there with us was interpreting what they were saying. Otherwise, we couldn't understand anything. So, you know, tongues is just not any language, amen, because many people speak in their what? Native tongue, amen. But we understand English, right? And you know, I stop and think about it and say, you know, most Americans, not all, but most Americans
uh-huh.
only know one language.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But then you go to many countries around the world,
yeah.
and it's two, three, or more, amen, because, you know, English is, you know, has become quite a universal language, you know, and it's amazing that, you know, we can travel all over the world and people, you know, who speak in other languages have also been taught how to speak English. Amen. So that becomes a second or a third language. Amen. And so you can learn any language you want to learn if you decide to put the time into it and to practice it. Because sometimes, you know, I think about my wife. She, you know, she took Spanish for how many years? A lot. She said, he's putting me on the spot. You know, but it's, you know, her favorite language to hear and talk about is French. It sounds so what? Romantic. You know, sometimes we can hear a language and you know, we can recognize that's French or that's Spanish, but we still can't understand it.
Right.
But we can identify, you know, they're speaking, sound like Russian. You know, I mean, we can identify or closely identify the language, but that don't mean you understand it. You can hear people speaking in tongues if you've been around it, and you can identify they're speaking in tongues. But guess what? You ain't gonna understand it. You may try to study. You can learn every other language. But when you speak about the new tongue, that's why I titled it New Tongues.
Right.
Because this is a heavenly language, amen, that no matter how you try, you ain't gonna understand it. And we're gonna see that in the scripture, amen. It's important, amen. So don't get moved or get spooky about tongues. It's another language.
Yeah.
Amen. It just happens to be a heavenly language.
Yes.
Right? You know, everybody else got their language. Why God can't hear his? Right?
Amen.
If you want to talk on his level,
all right.
See, talk his language, amen. And see, if you want to be able to communicate with him spirit to spirit, right? Well, see, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I just want us to think about this. Sometimes we make tongues spooky, amen. But it's not spooky. Amen. It's something that we learn. Amen. And it's something that, you know, is imparted by his spirit. Amen. And that we have to, more than learn it, we have to be ready to yield to it, to embrace it. Amen. So we think about that. Amen. So as I look at this, we're going to dig in a little bit further. Because one thing I've seen, amen, even till today,
uh-huh.
you know, the devil has fought against and continues to fight against spiritual tongues.
Amen.
Fights against it, wants to shut it down, or don't want it to happen. And there's a reason for that, amen, because for him it's a problem.
Yes.
Amen. Even on the day of Pentecost, on the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was those that say, oh, they just drunk. You know, trying to dismiss it and say, you know, they're crazy.
Uh-huh.
But that's why Peter stood up and delivered the first message to help them understand everything that was taking place on that day.
Yes.
Amen. So the warfare continues. Amen. And I used to be on the other side saying, that you don't need that. I'm talking about me. I don't know about y'all. You don't need that. It's not necessary. You know, that was from way back then and all that. But since God has changed the brother. Amen. It changed me. Goodness gracious, did he change me? And so I look back, amen, and think about, thank God that he's bigger than me.
Amen.
All right? So we got to understand it. The fight goes on. So let me remind you that the kingdom of God is at war.
Yes.
Amen. And in any war, amen, we're at war against the prince of this world. That's what the Bible calls Satan. And his army, he's the prince of the power of the air, the scripture says. And we're in a warfare, and we're engaged in that warfare against him, amen. And like any war, amen, he's out to kill every man, woman, and child. He wants to destroy your soul and destroy your opportunity, amen, to spend eternity with God.
Amen.
He wants you to turn your back on him, to dismiss all this spiritual stuff. Amen. And just live for the moment. Live for the flesh, which is going to die. Amen. Can you imagine serving the flesh with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, only to know that it ain't going nowhere? That just don't make sense to me. So I decided I don't want to serve the flesh. I want to make the flesh serve me. Amen. To help me accomplish the things that God has in store for me. And I pray that is the same for each and every one of us, amen. But, you know, one of the main strategies in war, amen, is for the enemy to try to disrupt your lines of communication.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. He wants to disrupt it, or he wants to, you know, be able to infiltrate it in order to understand what your plans are. You know, and you know, when we planning something, amen, we don't like the enemy to know our plans. How many of y'all watched the Super Bowl?
Amen.
All right. I watched the replay. You know, but when you're looking at the coaches on the sidelines, amen, and they're giving information, you know, sending out plays to the quarterback on the field, do they just shout it out, hey, I want you to do it? No, what do they do? See, I see some of y'all already know, amen. First thing they do, they're gonna look at their score, their play card, and then they hold it up and speak into their microphone. Why they hold it up like that? See, so y'all know, so he can't read. They don't even need to hear it because they got people who read your lips, amen, and be able to tell the other side what your play is so that now you can stop the play.
Amen.
Even football understands communication is sacred.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, so they want. I'm going to block it. I don't want them to have lip readers on the other side and sharing my play and my plan. So they block it out, amen, so you cannot read what they're doing. Basketball, same thing, you know. And obviously, in the state of war, we're always looking at ways, amen, to encrypt things so that they cannot be understood by our adversary.
Yes.
Now, if man has that intelligence, where do you think he got it from?
Oh, right.
I'm just laying a little foundation here.
Yes.
You know, so we don't want our communication. How about y'all want the devil to know everything you tell God? Or, you know, you want to know everything God's telling you? He's an eavesdropper. Amen. He wants to hear what's going on. How many of you have ever heard of code talkers? I see a few hands go up. Let me see. Raise your hand high. Amen. Well, the rest of you are about to find out. I learned about them years ago, and it just blessed me, man. And even as I was looking at it, it came back to me for this message. I said, you know what? You know, we need to understand that it's important. But code talkers, what were code talkers? Code talkers were Native Americans who were first used in World War I,
wow.
Amen, and then extensively used in World War II because the Japanese were able to intercept communications, and we were having a hard time in the war because they knew what the plans were. You know, they tried different codes and different things. So what they ended up doing, amen, was bringing Indians on board, Native Americans, amen, and they trained them in the tactics that they were doing, but they put together a whole code, amen, and they, you know, they would identify, say, a submarine as an iron fish, but they would say it in the Navajo language. You know, so all of a sudden, the Japanese were not able to understand what was going on because they were talking code, and the code was simply their native tongue, which then no one else knew but them. So what they would do is they would have with each group, amen, and there were hundreds of code talkers that were used throughout the war, amen. And it was important because they came up with their own code in their own language. So if Juan was a code talker and I was on board the ship and I'm asking for coordinates, amen, where to send the missiles, he would tell me in Navajo, amen. And then I would translate that to the people on the ship. This is the coordinates. So anybody else listening, even the people in the room with me, don't know what I'm talking about. And the program was classified all the way up until the 60s. I think it was 1968. They declassified it. They couldn't even tell their family members what they were doing, because they did not want, you know, the other side to go find them some code talkers that would be able. So they were able, and it was so effective. Let me read this to you, amen, because it's important. It says Native American code talkers played a crucial role in the Allied victory in World War II, coined by the U.S. Marines, and then the phrase code talker, amen, is a term given to American Indians who used their Navajo tribe language to send secret code communications on the battlefield. Despite the heroic contribution of these code talkers during the war, recognition was slow. We still had some things to learn as a nation how to honor those, and they finally got Congressional Medals of Honor, amen, for what they did, and that was not until 2001. So it took that long, amen. So like I said, we got some things to learn. You know, but it says the work of hundreds of code talkers was essential to the Allied victory in World War II. They were present at many important battles, including at Utah Beach during the D-Day invasion in France, and at Iwo Jima in the Pacific. The code talkers participated in every major marine operation in the Pacific theater. Amen. They were enlisted and they wrote, but this is the thing that really, you know, helps us understand. Amen. Giving the Marines a critical advantage throughout the war during the nearly month-long battle for Iwo Jima, six code talkers, Marines, successfully transmitted more than 800 messages without error. In fact, 5th Marine Division Signal Officer Major Howard Connor stated, "Were it not for the Navajos, the Marines would never have taken Iwo Jima." That's how important it was to keep the communication. Yes. And if any of us know Iwo Jima and D-Day, they don't know some bloody battles. Amen. But if it wasn't for their ability to communicate, amen, and that was a pivotal, Iwo Jima was pivotal for the turning the tide of the war. Amen. And it was because of the help of the code talkers. Amen. I love that. I really do, amen. And I thank God that he finally got the honor that they deserved. And so we're not here to talk about code talkers, but are we?
Come on.
You may not be Native American, amen, but you're a child of God.
Yes.
Isn't that right? And I look at this to say, amen, you know, to tell us that, you know, the new tongues can be and is our communication between us and God, that the enemy has no way of breaking that code. Amen. It's our secret communication that the adversary cannot decipher, no matter how hard he tries. Amen. So, and I like I like using my spiritual language, amen. Because why? Sometimes I don't even know what's going on with me.
Amen.
But the spirit man does.
All right.
And he can help a brother out. Right? And we'll see that. So we're going to continue on. So we look at this, but what are you saying? You mean it's our secret language in both directions? Let's see what it says. Let's just start off with 1 Corinthians 14:2. Some of these verses we're going to go back again because I'm not pulling out everything all at once.
Amen.
Amen. But when I look at this one, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." In other words, I'm not talking to you.
Right?
Amen. "For no man," everybody say, "No man."
No
man understandeth him. Howbeit the spirit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." Wow. In your spirit, you speak in mysteries. In other words, amen, that's that secret language between your spirit man and the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Your natural man don't understand it, but your spiritual man know exactly what's going on. Amen. See, let's look at that same passage in the Amplified. We're going to expand it just a little bit here. Amen. It says, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to be unto the understanding." Secret things. And y'all say, "Don't keep secrets." God knows everything anyway. Amen. He sees you. Amen. So I look at that and I'm like, wow, secret things he's speaking to God. Anybody ever told God your secrets? Now I'm gonna say this, and I don't want to mess nobody up. I don't want to offend nobody. But if you're telling me your secret things in English,
come on, Jesus.
There's still someone eavesdropping.
That's right.
Right? Amen. We got to recognize that, we have an advantage that if we learn how to embrace it,
yeah,
it helps us. It helps us along the way. Amen. So, and I look at, and then the second thing here is, I know that we are familiar with the Apostle Paul. Right?
Amen.
And if it was wrong, wouldn't you think Paul would have pointed it out? And said, "Y'all shouldn't be doing that." Right? But, that's not what Paul said. The Apostle Paul, amen, he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. That's almost half.
Amen.
Pretty close to half of the whole New Testament. And this is what he had to say in 1 Corinthians 14:18. "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all."
Mm.
Now, if he said that, now look how he said it. It says in the Amplified, "I thank God that I speak in strange tongues, languages more than any of you or all of you put together." I speak in tongues more than all y'all jokers. Right? Put together. All you do, and in the message, the message expands and expounds it even further. He said, "I'm grateful to God for the gift of praying in tongues that he gave us." Let me say that again. That he gave us for praising him, which leads to wonderful intimacies we enjoy with him. Amen. I enter into this as much or more than any of you. Now, if he saw the importance and put so much emphasis on it, it's something that I think the church should pause and recognize and say, you know what? There must be something to this. We listen to everything else Paul says. Right? So we're going to look at this, amen. As the Apostle Paul, amen, he also made this statement in the 5th verse of that same chapter. Amen. Going back. He said, and this is just a portion, like I said, we're going to revisit some of these. Amen. "I would that ye all spake with tongues." In other words, I wish y'all alls would. You know, so it wasn't, in other words, so he understood it wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for the 120 that were in the upper room. Amen. He's talking to all of them that are present. Amen. You see, so we like I said, we'll go back and examine some of these verses today and then in my next message, because there's so much more that needs to be pulled out. But I'm just kind of, you know, laying a little foundation here. You know, so as we look at, you know, this topic, it was something that the apostles grabbed hold of and, you know, they believed and they taught and they stood up on. Amen. They practiced, amen, themselves. So, I mean, it was good enough for them. Good enough for us, you and I. Now let's get back to some of these verses, amen, as we dig a little bit deeper. Let's go to the book of Mark. Amen. You know, Paul didn't shy away from it, amen. He didn't have a problem with it, amen. I don't have a problem with it, amen. I don't think God has a problem with it, because he's the one that gives us the language. Right? So we look here in Mark 16. Now this is what Jesus had to say. 17, verses 17 and 18. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." You know, he had told them to go and preach and teach, but he told them, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall, in his name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." That's what Jesus said. Amen? And he said, now he didn't just say, you know, a few people. He said, them that what? Believe. Amen. That these are things that we should be doing. Amen. Casting out, we believe that we still supposed to cast out devils?
Amen.
Amen. There's a whole lot of them need to be cast out these days.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, they shall cast out devils. Amen. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. And you know, notice as he's saying these things, he said, "Well, take up serpents." You know, I'm reminded when you know, Paul was on the journey, and they got caught in the storm, and the ship broke up. Amen. And they came in on broken pieces. Amen. And they landed on the Isle of Malta. Amen. And as they were gathering wood together to make a fire to warm themselves, the scripture said, amen, he put wood on the fire and a venomous viper latched onto his hand. And the people who lived there knew that this was a deadly snake. You know, so they're watching him, waiting for him to get stiff and to fall over and die. That's how poisonous this thing was. But the scripture said he just shook it off. And kept on doing what he was doing.
Amen.
And they kept watching. You know, if someone was betting, he said, "I'll give you $5, he'll fall in about 2 minutes.
Come on,
Jesus." You know, but as he kept watching and it didn't bother him, then they wanted to worship him.
Yeah.
Right? They went from fearing for his death, and now they want to worship him. And he had to let them know, you know, it's not me. Amen. But see, that was a sign to them that there's something different about this man.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling you, you know, go out and pick up serpents. I mean, I've seen videos of people doing that. Then, you know, that ain't what the Bible's talking about, doing that crazy stuff. He said, but if something was like that to happen to you, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, and your faith in God, he's a keeper. Amen. But we got to activate our faith and be able to walk in it. Amen. And even when it comes to drinking deadly things, now I'm not going to drink no poison to prove to you I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But if by chance something was to be in, you know, he said, you know, he's able to protect you. But these are, you know, but I say, you know, so we look at these things, amen, and we don't want to dismiss, amen, the one and still grab hold of the others. He said, all these are the signs that's going to follow them that believe, right? Amen. And then Jesus was speaking again in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And he said unto them, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." Now notice, he's putting the onus on us.
All
Amen. To ask and to seek, and not just in every area. Right? He said, you have not why? Because you ask not. Sometimes you ask amiss. Amen. So, you know, but we got to ask, right? He said, but, you know, and him, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son, now take notice of the language here. He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. He's not talking about a stranger.
Come on now.
He's talking about a son, right? That is a father. Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He said, if then, being evil, ouch, that hurts, you know, because he's talking about us. He said, if then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children.
Right. Come on.
No, so he's saying these are our children, so therefore he's referring to his children.
Yes.
Amen. Those that have accepted him and been brought into his family. Amen. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Right.
Problem is, everybody ain't asking.
Lord Jesus.
Right? So we got to recognize, okay, that it's available. You know, and you know, this is the key that I want to, you know, just touch just a little sidebar here. If the Holy Spirit was received at the time of salvation with the power thereof, why would they have to ask for it? Just food for thought. Food for thought. Amen? So I'm thinking about that because these are his children. Okay, now let's look at this, you know, those in the new book of Acts, you know, who when they received the Holy Spirit, let's see what it's talking about here. Now I know we've gone over this passage over and over again, but it's still full of meat. Amen? And the second, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now let's not pass that up. What's it mean for them all to be with one accord? And I'm not talking about a Honda Accord, because that can only hold about five people. Right? He said for them to be with one accord in one place. In other words, they were in agreement. Right? They were all on the same page. Amen. And suddenly, now that's how many want suddenly to show up in your house? Amen. And I want God to show up in this house suddenly. He said, and suddenly, amen, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. In other words, they were all just immersed. Sometimes we see in our Sunday school class, they give you a picture with a little flame over their head. But that's not a baptism. Immersed. Amen. They set upon them, each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's look at that verse. He said, and they were all filled. Now if they were already full, they wouldn't need to have been filled. Right? So they're waiting to be filled. And they were waiting as he had told them to go and wait. So this is the thing they were waiting for, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now they began to speak, but the Spirit gave them the utterance, or in other words, the words. Right? But in other words, but think about this. He's not making them do it. Amen. They're choosing to open their mouths. They have to surrender their lips. They have to surrender their tongue. They have to surrender their vocal cord. Amen. And then he gives them the utterance. You know, sometimes we pray with people, you know, encourage them to just embrace the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to say nothing.
Come on.
I think sometimes they're waiting for it to just bubble up and burst out. You know, but you got to participate. This is a participation thing.
Yes.
Participating with the Holy Spirit. I mean, when the day when I received the Holy Spirit, all he was telling me, just say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just say thank you, Jesus. Just thank him for his goodness. Open your mouth. Use your vocal cords. And when he begins to put different language in there, don't resist it.
That's right.
That took me a minute.
Amen.
A few minutes. Because it didn't make sense when different things start coming out my mouth. Because I was saying, one, I'm trying to say thank you, Jesus. You know, and praise you, Lord, and hallelujah. And all of a sudden, this other stuff start coming out. And see, so I've seen people just shut down. Then, oop, what was that? That's him trying to overflow. That's the Holy Spirit trying to overflow into. Yeah, and see, it takes a yielding, a surrendering. And not only that, it takes believing.
Yes.
Believing. You have to believe. Amen. You know, because I was, you know, again, it took, you know, we went to the church, amen, Pastor Linda, and what, a couple of days, he's like, she's just speaking in tongues. Like, you know, going from the AME, and I don't got nothing against AME. Mom and Dad came from the AME church, the African Methodist church, you know, but she was just like, boom. It wasn't like that for me, you know. And not only did she receive it, I mean, that's a whole testimony I don't got time to go into. That night when it happened for her, when he came and filled her. But then for the next 3 days, three full days, we couldn't have a conversation. Because every time she tried to say something, it came out in tongues. And that wasn't her will. I mean, I remember her best friend came to the house. Knocked on the door, Sherry, name was Sherry, you know, came by to pay her a visit. She opens the door. She goes to say hi to Sherry, and all that was coming out was tongues. And Sherry took a step back. And when she saw that, it wasn't long after that Sherry gave her life to the Lord. Because she knew this was definitely something different. See, it was a sign to the unbeliever how God good. But I don't want to go down that road yet. But you got to see what I'm saying. God is wanting to move, amen, but we have to be able to embrace it, amen. In that instance, amen, even on the day of Pentecost, the bystanders, they saw something and they heard something, amen. They saw it and they heard it. They heard the evidence. They saw the tongues of fire. They saw the thing that God was doing, amen. So it wasn't done in a corner or in secret. It was done out loud in front of everybody, amen. And so we got to see, amen, God wants to do something. He wasn't, you know, we don't want to restrict him to a box, right? God can do things any way he wants to, amen. So next, let's look at the 8th chapter of Acts. My time is running out, amen. And I could just go on each one of these. Chapter 8, verses 14. I'm going to start at 14, amen. Here, you know, we see Philip, amen, was in Samaria, and he's preaching and teaching the word of God, and people are getting saved. And then there comes a sorcerer named Simon. And he, for years, he'd been, you know, showing himself to be some big spiritual one, and people have flocked to him and believe him. But when he heard the gospel, amen, and he saw people getting saved, he began to listen to Philip also, and he too gave his life to the Lord and got baptized. This is Simon the sorcerer. He done changed up. Now he's become a Christian. He got baptized. He accepted the Lord. And then we pick it up here, amen, because this is going on in Samaria, and the word gets all the way back to Jerusalem of what Philip is doing in Samaria. And it says here in the 8th chapter, 14th verse, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, knows what they did. They sent unto them Peter and John. Now, Samaria is about 40 miles away. And they didn't just jump in the Accord and drive down. They had to walk. So that might have taken them a day or so, or maybe two, depending on how fast they walked, if they got on the donkey. But it took them a while to get there, but they felt like this is important. They're receiving the word, so let's go over there and make sure that they're getting all of the word. Now notice, he said, what happened? See, he said, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. These people are already getting baptized. They're already saved. They're already given their life to the Lord. They heard. They received the word of God. Isn't that right? But when they got there, they said, okay, we're going to pray for y'all just so you can receive the Holy Ghost. Now, look what it says in 16th verse. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So they were baptized, but the Holy Ghost hadn't come on none of them. See, two separate things again. Amen. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, now Simon the sorcerer, remember the saved sorcerer, we call him that, okay. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, it didn't say they spoke in tongues and prophesied, but it said he saw something. He saw some evidence that when they laid their hands on them, he saw them receive the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we can lay hands on people and pray for them all day, but you don't see what the prayer is. But he saw something that made him want to buy this power. You know, if you read the rest of it, you know, they told him, you know, you can't buy this thing. You know, your heart ain't right. You perish with your money. And he said, no, pray for me. But there was evidence. He saw something of the imparting of the Holy Spirit upon them. And then we want to go to where Peter was sent, amen, to Cornelius. Peter living in Joppa, amen, and he had a vision come down, and it showed him unclean, you know, all kinds of manner of unclean meats that, you know, being a Jew, amen, he didn't touch the unclean. But, you know, so he said, and the Lord told him, rise and eat. I'm just paraphrasing, you know, just trying to give you the story. You know, because he was in a trance and he saw this, and the Lord said, rise and eat, Peter. And Peter said, not so, Lord, I've never touched anything common or unclean. You know, I'm keeping myself as unto you, is what he's saying. And the Lord, you know, it came down again. It was done three times, and the Lord told him, what I have called, you know, clean, don't call common. You know, so he was preparing him for what he was about to tell him to do.
Yeah.
You know, so he told him, amen, that Cornelius, amen, was in need of him.
Yeah.
And while this was going on, Cornelius, all the way over, because he's there and Cornelius is in Caesarea. And Cornelius, amen, the angel comes and tells Cornelius, who was a Gentile, amen, to send men to Joppa and find, you know, Paul, that he might come, you know, and pray for him. So, you know, did I say Paul? It was Peter. You know, thank you. But so these two things are going on in two separate cities at the same time. So he's telling Peter that when these men come, go with them.
Yeah.
The Gentiles are coming to get you. And, you know, the Jews had no dealings with Gentiles. But he said, the Gentiles are coming to get you, to take you to a Gentile house. Go with them. And at the same time, he told Cornelius, send men to Joppa to get Peter. So when they showed up at his door, he was expecting them. He got, you know, it's like he got a, you know, email saying they coming, so be ready. You know, but it was a Gmail. But he's coming. So when they got there, he went, amen, and when he began to teach and to, you know, share the word with them, you know, and telling them about the goodness of God and all these things that were taking place, amen, and you have to read the whole story, but we don't have time to do that. But I'm going to pick up at verse 44. And he said, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that means the unsaved, the Gentiles, non-Jews, amen, which believed were astonished. Now look at it. They of the circumcision. Amen. That's because when Peter went down there, a bunch of Jews went with him. You know, we're going to go see you. You going down here? We going with you. So, and they saw, amen, that on them, on the Gentiles also, they astonished as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How'd they know that? It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So again, the evidence was there, amen, when the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They heard him speak with tongues. Amen. Obviously, they weren't apostles. They were Gentiles. You know, they were unsaved. But this is the only place you see they got saved. And then before they were baptized. And now, why in the world would this happen? You know, because let me finish reading, and I'm going to share some things with you. Amen. But he said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? In other words, they haven't been baptized, but they got the Holy Ghost. Can anybody say they can't be baptized? So he didn't say, well, you got the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be baptized in the water. Now he's letting them know you need that too. Right? Because look what he said. He said, which have received the Holy Ghost. In the 48th verse, said, and he commanded them. He didn't just suggest.
Yes, come on.
He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In other words, don't go back home. We want you to stick around. We want tarry means to wait. Spend some time with us. You know, they wanted some more, amen. So he commanded them to be baptized, amen. But see, so why did God give the Gentiles the Holy Ghost before they got baptized? He was setting Peter up to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But see, because Peter, remember Peter's response when he saw the vision? I don't deal with uncommon and unclean things. So, you know, being a Jew, amen, that was steeped in the word and committed to the faith, amen, he did not want to do anything outside. So the Lord probably looked at him, and this is just conjecture, but probably looked at, you know, I need to do something to help him understand I'm accepting them. So he did things a little bit differently with them. He poured the Holy Ghost on them, so now you ain't got no doubt God is with them. God loves them. God saved them. So, okay. You did your part. You shown them God, so we need to do ours. Let's get them to the water.
Yes.
Let's help them. Amen. Let's make this complete. Because why? They see the necessity. Amen. Of them having the whole package.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He wanted them to make sure they had the full meal deal.
Yes.
Amen. You got the burger, the fries, and the drink. Right, so I want everyone to have the full meal deal in here too.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just give me the sandwich and I got nothing to wash it down with.
Right. Amen. Glory.
Don't just give me the sandwich and the drink and I got no side.
Come on here,
right? You know what? We want the full meal deal.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We want the water. We want the spirit. Yes. Amen. And we want the word.
Yes.
We want it all. Amen. To bring it to us. So let me move on. So we see these things happening, amen. And then we move over further to the one that we kind of talked about a little bit last week, amen, where Paul, amen, came down and asked him if they had received the Holy Ghost since they believed. But before we go there, I want to back up to the 18th chapter so we understand what happened, the fact that why they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. So let's back up to 18, amen, and look at verse 24 and 26. It says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man. He's learned. I mean, eloquent means he's educated, well-educated, right? Eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. Look, he's got good credentials, right? He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. As eloquent and as learned as he was and mighty as he was in the scripture, he only knew about the baptism of John. That was the total of his, you know, that was the crescendo of his knowledge.
Yes.
Amen. You need to be baptized in John's baptism. So, look what it says. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Right? Whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took on him unto themselves, unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now see, Priscilla and Aquila, they knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They knew about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they heard that he was just going around teaching That's all he knew. And you can't fault him. He's about God's business. He's doing the best he can with what he has. But somebody came alongside of Priscilla and Aquila and said, okay, you're doing good, but let us help you to the next level. You know, so now you can add this to your repertoire. Amen. And you can be able to help people to another level. Amen. So they took him aside, as the scripture says, kindly. Amen. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, helping him to understand the rest of the story. So that's why, amen, now we get to Acts 19 and 1. Amen. Because now, and this is when Paul found the baptized disciples that were baptized in the name of John. And I started the first verse for the benefit of those who may not have been here before. Amen. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth being instructed. Amen. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Okay, there were disciples. Amen. They had been baptized in John's baptism. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should be baptized, they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So he's clearing up. Okay, y'all did good, but there's more. Tell somebody next to you there's more. Amen. See, and so he's helping them to understand that. And he says, now they didn't resist. This is the other side of the coin now. They didn't resist. They received the word. They didn't resist what he was saying. He said, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So got a dozen more filled, amen. A dozen more heard and received, amen. And we see all 12 of them had the evidence, amen. That was that initial evidence of that infilling. Amen, as they yielded to the Spirit of God. This is what your Bible says. I'm not making this up. Okay. This is all about. So it's important that we recognize this gift is for all. What did it say? You know, in Acts 2 and 38 and on down, he said, the promises unto who? To all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the power, amen, that comes. And, you know, when we cut back, we're gonna deal with, you know, even more, because I don't have time to go into it all in one session. I'm trying to do this methodically, but I tell you what, it's kind of hard to hold back sometimes. You know, but I can't go too far. Amen. So what about those that believe tongues has passed away? I've heard that. I'm sure some of y'all have heard that. In fact, I'm sure some of y'all have read it in the scripture. That tongues pass away. Right? Right? Let's look at the passage.
Amen.
Amen. And give it some context. Okay? Because Peter, again, is speaking and teaching. Amen. Peter Paul. You know, so in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, it said, charity never faileth. What is charity?
Love.
Love. Okay, love never fails, right? But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. What you say? They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, let's unpack that verse in context. Because like I said, you can't take one piece and build a doctrine or build a case, should I say. Because it says, amen, that whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That doesn't mean they have ceased.
Come on now.
Paul is writing this after, amen, Christ has come and gone, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's writing unto them saying, whether there be tongues, they shall pass away. But when did he say they would pass away? When that which is perfect is come. Now some say, well, the Bible was perfect, and when it came, all that ceased. The Bible doesn't say that. Amen. Because when we look at the Bible, amen, you know, there's still a lot of debate. Is it perfect? Is it infallible? Is it that? Is it the other? But the only perfect one is Jesus Christ. But see, he'd already come. So wait a minute. Maybe he's right. No, he's talking about the second coming. And then when he comes the second time, now notice, we don't hear that same argument about prophecies. But it's in the same passage. He said prophecy shall cease, but we still believe in prophecy. Right? Whether there be knowledge. Has knowledge passed away? I hope not. You know, we see knowledge just taking this nation and the world to a whole other level. Knowledge is abundant. Just go to the internet. I mean, so knowledge hasn't vanished and passed away either. So why would we take that passage and only single out tongues and say it ceased? Cherry picking.
Thank you.
You can't cherry pick the scripture to build a case. You got to take everything in context. So it's letting us know, amen, he's letting us know when the perfect one returns, when he comes, then we won't have a need for prophecy. He'll be with us. We won't have a need for tongues. We can talk directly to him. You know, we won't have a need for knowledge because all that stuff, we're now going into a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. So all this knowledge we have now becomes null and void. You know, so those things will pass away when the time comes that the Christ comes for the second time to establish his kingdom in the earth. That's when the pass away will take place. Y'all with me? Amen. Because he's the only perfect one. Amen. So we understand that. So, and then there's the other question. Do all speak in tongues? If you want me to answer that question, be here next time. Because we will answer that question in depth. My time is up, you know. So if you want, be here the next time. Amen. And we will pick it up there because we're going to talk about tongues and the diversities of tongues and all those things, how all that works within the church and in our lives, amen, how it's supposed to be. If you want to know about whether all speak in tongues, come back for installment number 5. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah.